So Donald Trump yesterday, Lee, saying he's going to defund sanctuary cities. You just had that in the news, I know. What does that mean? Actually, nobody knows.
Yeah.
It could mean anything. Yeah. I mean, it could be as extreme as, okay, no Medicaid or food stamp payments, which would affect, you know, regular people who are truly in need. Or it could just, you know, be bus subsidies, like federal bus subsidies or law enforcement subsidies. Nobody knows. So we're going to see. But listening to him say this, it just reminds me of how much the Republicans could do if they were willing.
Yeah.
Because right now, and earlier in the day, Trump also said the same thing. He said he's cutting off welfare payments, all of them, to illegal immigrants. And they have been working on that for a while. They've already cut off like 700,000 off the SNAP benefits. They've cut off 2.4 million fraudulent Obamacare plans, some of whom they think are illegal immigrants, meaning there's been a lot of people kicked off of, millions kicked off Medicaid, who they believe are illegal immigrants. We're already doing some of it, and we're suing blue states for the rest of the information because they're hiding it. So I imagine there'll be a lot more. But Trump hasn't won those lawsuits yet, Lee, especially not the SNAP one, where he's suing 21 blue states to get their SNAP records, i.e. food stamp records, which they're refusing to turn over. That's federal money, by the way, but unfortunately you sign up at the state level. Right. And they're obviously hiding illegals. So he hasn't even won. He will win that. We're going to win that, but he hasn't won it yet. So I don't know. He said, you know, we're cutting off all payments today. I'm wondering how he's going to do that, number one, personally, since he hasn't won those court cases yet. But number two, are Republicans in Congress hearing any of this? What? Because this is going to be very interesting, what's about to happen right now, coming up, right? Because for the first time, Republicans are actually working on appropriations bills. Now, that sounds wonky and like you don't care, but it's actually a big deal.
Yes.
Because that would allow us to go in and cut stuff out.
Well, we could get rid of the Nancy Pelosi budget.
Yes.
Which we keep passing with those continuing resolutions.
Right. And that, all that is we don't want to make any hard decisions. We can't get the votes. Whatever your excuse is, we just continue Nancy Pelosi's budget.
Well, not getting the votes is the issue right now, but it could be an excuse and not the issue. That's unknown at this point.
See, exact. That is a perfect way to put that. The theory is we don't have the votes, but Democrats sure are able to stick together when they need to. It's amazing how they do that, right? Yeah. So if you're wondering, all of this fraud we're hearing about, the Somali fraud, and now it's looking like $500 billion fraud out of Minnesota. Todd Pyro still hasn't taken that back on Fox News. At least $600 billion fraud a year, Scott Bessent. We're now learning about the different fraudulent enterprises from Seattle to Ohio to Maine. I mean, it's just billions and billions and billions of dollars. I mean, I just like we had yesterday, Lee, King County, which is Washington, one county lost $1.8 billion, not million, billion dollars in federal money. Just gone. Nobody's fired. Right? We can go in with appropriations bills. Congress members can in Washington, and they can just put X's right through the funding for these programs. We can even write in fraud protection. Imagine that.
Wow, yeah.
We can do anything we want. With a continuing resolution, you can't. You have to pass all the Democrats' funding priorities. It's an up or down vote. Now, Mike Johnson, when he came in, promised appropriations bills so we could actually begin to cut stuff. And it cut out Democrat priorities, which apparently the only Democrat priority, Lee, is fraud. So we could cut out Democrat funding priorities. Because when it comes right down to it, you could scream Somali fraud all you want, but I mean, who sent them the money? Well, that's been us since 2023. It's been Republicans. And you know what it shows? They don't even know what's in this Nancy Pelosi bill they're funding. They just continue it. By the way, the problem with the continuing resolution, you can increase the amount you spent, by the way.
Yeah.
But you can't cut anything.
You can't decrease it. Yeah.
No, you can't
Funny
decrease it.
Funny how it only goes one way, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm waiting for someone on our side to realize, wait a minute, okay, the Democrats are doing this fraud and they're covering it up. Okay, yeah, Democrats very culpable, right? 75%. But we sent a check.
Yeah.
So here's where this is going to get crazy. We are supposedly working on appropriations bills, but where we could do all the cutting, right? What I've heard that before. And then Mike Johnson always drives it up to the last screaming minute and goes, oh no, we're going to have a government shutdown. Too bad. Got to pass Nancy Pelosi's budget again. Well, if you'd started working months ago, we wouldn't have to do that, bud. Here's where this is going to get crazy. If Mike Johnson does that again, as he has since he took over for Kevin McCarthy, then you know what we're going to do, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Continuing resolution, Somali daycares get funded. Somali transportation companies get funded. The 455 houses, group homes owned by Somalis, they also don't have people in them. They get funded. King County gets another $2 billion to lose. It all gets funded. The illegal immigrants, they get funded. Trump doesn't cut any welfare. And it's going to be on us. And I'm afraid that GOP voters are going to see that and they're not going to show up in the midterms. If ever we produced appropriations bills, now is the time.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have to work 20 hours a day. Not my problem. You signed up for the job.
Yeah. But the vote count is so razor sharp now. And because of, you know, several situations, you know, with resignations, illness, death, the various things that are going on, it is just so close that that sadly is a legitimate issue, because if you get any defectors on the Republican side, I mean, one or two at this point could make a difference.
It could, but their problem is Nick Shirley and his videos.
Yeah.
He just put another one out.
Yeah.
He said this one's going to cause World War III, and we played some of it. Yeah, they found worse and worse and worse fraud. If Republicans watch, Republicans turn around and fund that fraud. This is a mess.
Yeah, it is. It's politics.
It is. Now, remember, Mike Johnson promised, because remember they kicked Kevin McCarthy out because he wouldn't do appropriations bills. He promised to. Well, Mike Johnson was going to get kicked out for that. We had a vote. Democrats voted to save him. Republicans couldn't take him out. And that's what they got in reward. We just keep passing Nancy Pelosi's bills. Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi budget, which it turned out had massive fraud in it. And I'm telling you, it's going to really dishearten Republicans if we fund all of this again and nothing gets cut. It will be the most devastating thing you could do to midterm turnout, because you're not going to be able to hide it on X. People are going to know.
But the problem with that is, Tara, then it gets even worse.
What do you mean?
It's a no-win situation, because either, and I'm just saying, if that happens, and if we don't get done what you're talking about doing, and then Republicans don't show up, then it's going to get even worse, because then we have done nothing but elect a Democrat majority. When I say we, I mean the American voter. And it's going to get worse than the way it is now, because when they get a majority, if Democrats get a majority in the House and Senate and then are able to take the White House, well.
Yeah. It's a problem. And I'll tell you what the bad indicator here is that, and I haven't even gotten to this, which is crazy. I'm like a week late. That Obamacare vote where they voted to extend the subsidies.
Right. I know.
Okay. That works just like a continuing resolution. What does that mean? The reason that a lot of Republicans wanted to reopen that and take a look at it is because there's massive fraud in it. About 30% of that is fraud.
And that was known going into it.
Yes.
In fact, Republicans told you that going into it.
Yeah, no, it was Republicans. They knew. So by continuing, you're continuing the fraud. Why did the Democrats fight so hard, not just to keep the subsidies, okay, but to keep the exact language that they had? Because they know the 30% fraud rate, a lot of that's illegal immigrants.
Right.
It's not all of it, but it's a lot. It's where they have the illegals hidden. And those, a lot of those are the 100% fund Obama. So it's free health care. That's why they fought for it so hard, to get specifically not only that subsidy, but to continue it. And what did Republicans do? They continued it, knowing full well 30% of the cases were fraud. And the reason for that, too, is the way that they have it set is that you call the insurance. You're just shopping around. You say, hey, you give them your name and your address and your birth date. Bam, you got an Obamacare plan. You don't need a Social Security number. That's what they want to continue, is the fraud. And we did it. So to me, that's a really bad precedent, really bad precedent. And again, Lee, that's more than likely for the reason you're saying. We don't want to tank the Obamacare subsidies, right? And then we'll get blamed going to midterms, blah, 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 blah. But what do? We gave a bunch of illegal immigrants free Obamacare. Well, we voted to do it.
At least there's a two-front fight going on with the Trump administration getting pressuring states to get rid of the bad voter rolls.
Yes.
That's one thing. And
that's
then
huge.
And then the deportations. Because this is all about elections. It's all about power. It's about power and money. Because if you are not allowed, if you don't have American residents that are counted in the census as citizens and then counted as, you know, for the apportionment of the U.S. House of Representatives, then the Democrats are going to lose their base, and then they're going to lose control. And that's why they're fighting this so hard, because it's about money and it's about power, and mostly about power, because if you've got the power, you can get the money.
And here's where we are kind of like pre-screwed. And it's not our fault. We really are.
Hold on
with the money. No, because I mean, I've meant to do this since I came out for Christmas. This is CNN admitting the census is rigged for Democrats. And I've got to put this here to make it all make sense.
One of the big things is it helps decide congressional maps. Right. Does this have everything to do with redistricting?
Well, it does. In fact, we know the 2020 census, the errors were almost always to the detriment of red states. Blue states like Rhode Island.
Do we know that?
We do know that. The Census Bureau's own audit of its work has proven that. Blue states like Rhode Island were overcounted. Rhode Island then didn't lose a seat. Red states like Alabama were undercounted. Listen, this is just a fact.
Lee, there's between 25 and 30 seats. This is the whole problem that Democrats stole through the census and through the Supreme Court ordered mandatory drawing of black districts, which are just Democrat districts, right?
And counting illegal immigrants as part of the apportionment.
If we win the Supreme Court case right now on race-based districts, which should not exist, and the Trump administration can redo the census, at least before 28. We're not going to get it before the midterms, probably at this point. Yeah. There's 25 to 30 seats we should have right now. Mm-hmm. We should have. And then we can do these things. We can change America for a generation. But we're still dealing with that overhang of technically stolen seats that Democrats should not have. Yeah.
And that's more important in the House, but it could also lead to victories in the Senate where we could wind up with that 60-seat majority.
Exactly. You're right. And here's the crazy part of it. If we were to win a threefer, which I could get so excited about, we stop counting the illegals. And then the two others, which I feel pretty good we're going to win, the census redraw will be done legally instead of fraudulently. And also the Supreme Court getting rid of this racially gerrymandered. We're talking upwards of 34 seats that easily are winnable by us. I should say, you know, just barring a major financial catastrophe, we should be able to pick up. That's how Trump comes in with a small landslide, but we barely have a majority in Congress. Yeah. That's all rigged.
Yeah.
And that's what we're struggling with. But unfortunately, nobody's going to, GOP base isn't going to understand this. All they'll see is us refunding the Somali fraud. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a wild year. Can you imagine if a January 6th protester had tried to run over a Capitol Police officer with a car? Yeah, there was some pushing and shoving. There was. Can you imagine if that had happened? Can you imagine if, remember the raid of Mar-a-Lago and how historic that was and shocking it was to see the FBI raiding it? We knew in our guts it was wrong. And now we actually have the documents from Jack Smith admitting he had no constitutional right to do this and really didn't think it was legal, but that was okay. Well, what if that made me really mad? Like, so mad I went out there and decided, I don't know, ram an FBI vehicle with my car. You know, like the two Tren de Aragua's in Portland? Would Democrat activists riot on my behalf? Or no, that's not how it works. Would Jon Stewart take up for me as he did yesterday on his show explaining that, well, you know, if it's just a small act of defiance when you hit him with your car.
A wildly extreme overreaction to that small act of defiance. When I look at that video, I see a woman, maybe naive, sitting in a car thinking she has to do something and she's going to block something, and a wildly extreme overreaction.
Can you imagine if one of us had gone there to Mar-a-Lago and just stood in front of an FBI vehicle? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we'd done exactly what Renee Good did on January 6th? We'd never hear the end of it. What did the left tell us? January 6th, worse than 9/11, worse than Pearl Harbor. And look at them today. Look at them today. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey saying, look, okay, finally admitting, okay, like she hit him all right, yeah, in the hip, but you know, I mean, he walked away.
Watch the video from every single angle. I mean, the ICE agent walked away with a hip injury that he might as well have gotten from closing a refrigerator door with his hips. I've seen worse injuries from doing that. And so give me a break. No, he was not ran over.
Because it was just a small act of defiance.
A wildly extreme overreaction to that small act of defiance.
And yet we have people who were involved in the planning of January 6th who didn't even show up, who got 15 plus years of prison. And we're told that was fine, that was good. But now that it's time to investigate the widow of Renee Good, we have half a dozen federal prosecutors walking off the job. And good, they're purging themselves. We don't have to do it ourselves. They're refusing to investigate the training networks. Folks, when you, Democrats understood this on January 6th. If you pre-plan January 6th, right? And there is violence, even if it's not really serious violence, it's just a little pushing. It's not like, you know, running somebody over with your car or something like that, or ramming them with your car. I mean, just like a little pushing, right? Which we've just been told here, that's fine, right? It's really good. If you get mad, you should be able to do that. They put away a lot of these January 6th people on conspiracy charges because they plan to go there. But also, we cannot investigate the widow of Renee Good when we know for a fact, I retweeted it, that the group that she trained with taught car ramming and arrest interdiction. This is how to insert yourself between the ICE agent and the pedophile gang member or terrorist and break kind of the bonds between the ICE agents and them, and even how to free them from handcuffs. What is that? What is that? Oh, Democrats would tell us if we did on January 6th, that's called criminals conspiracy. Why? Because it is. Because it is. And yet we have, you know what's incredible here? People haven't put this together. The Somali, you know the Somali fraud guy, Joe Thompson, Minnesota? He's a Minnesota federal prosecutor. He's the one who walked off the job. Him and a lot of his staff. Because they refused to investigate whether the wife was part of a criminal conspiracy. Specifically, they refused to investigate the liberal groups that trained her. Why? Because he knows where it's going to go. He knows how to follow the money. He knows it's going to go right back to the Democrat Party. But as usual, folks, as usual, we are steps behind them. Wait till you hear where they're going next. I'm going to pay you play for you a paid agitator who's showing up at these protests. He's a professional, paid by the Democrat violence complex and what he's urging them to do at these protests. You'll see where they're going. This is how they do this, folks. Well, I mean, yeah, he got hit, but he wasn't that badly hurt. And it was just a small act of defiance. Oh, and then here's the federal prosecutors refusing to prosecute because Democrat in good standing. Folks, this is outrageous from a Justice Department that put grandmas in prison for years in solitary confinement for walking into the Capitol, no violence, and taking a selfie. They are now refusing to investigate the groups teaching Democrats violent tactics and then sending them out and the wife. I can't imagine folks ever living under these people. Holy cow. You know what? You know what we're working up to? We can hurt you all we want. No investigation. We're always right. But you can't fight back. We started tracking this yesterday because it's going to add up to something. Democrat influencers with one single message. Elon Musk was pointing this out on Joe Rogan the other day. Have you noticed the media all speaks with the exact same words? They don't even bother to put it in their own words. They're clearly speaking off Democrat talking points. Something Rush Limbaugh pointed out years ago. Well, I played you the montage yesterday. Democrat influencers calling for violence and a specific kind of violence. Trending again and again on TikTok. They want people to go to gun ranges, get guns, and shoot ICE agents. That's what is trending on and off on TikTok. Arming up against ICE. I played it for you yesterday.
We are under occupation, and this is what the founding fathers gave us the Second Amendment for.
Do you know why you have the right to own that AR that you only use in your dreams? The reason they're allowed to have those things is for the moment that we find ourselves in right now.
Yeah, I won't keep playing it, but they're trying. They've already gotten one of their sheeple to try to run over an ICE agent. We've had 100 vehicle rammings in recent weeks. Now they want shootings. So what you have, you've got that going on TikTok. They're preying on the on weak minds and mentally ill people. Take a listen to one of their professional agitators. This guy shows up regularly at liberal protests. And listen to what he's doing. He actually reminds me a lot of a guy who was there on January 6th. Remember the guy who kept saying, hey, go in the building. Yeah, no, go in the building. Remember that guy? I don't know why he reminds me of him for some reason. He's not actually doing anything himself personally, but he's giving an interview on a local television station. It came up to him because he's standing there at the violent protest because Democrats don't have any other kind. It's a January 6th every day with them attacking federal property. And he's standing there and he's just screaming for the other liberals to go get a gun and bring a gun and shoot the gun. He's not hitting anybody. He's not doing anything. He's just screaming at them to do it. And this guy is a professional agitator. Take a listen.
And murdering people for trying to flee and for obeying a command to leave the area and then shooting her in the face like that after she drops her kid off at school. We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it. I don't care if I don't have a Minnesota carry permit. I'm unarmed right now, but this is the last time I show up to face these guys without a weapon. There's no way. I got shot with a pepper ball 5 minutes after walking in here. I never laid a finger on them. I never raised a hand to them. I've only been using my voice. The time for speaking is over. The time for niceties is over. The time for peace is over. They fired the first shot. It is time to end this by any means necessary.
You're talking about, you know, potentially going to a dark place in this country. Do you foresee?
We're there. This is the dark place. This is the dark time. We have people being sent to Salvadorian concentration camps. We got other countries being raided for their oil. We're in the dark time. There's no way out of this. There's no voting our way out of this. We can't wait till November. There's no waiting.
Let me stop it right there. Remember earlier in the week, John Solomon wrote the story about how the Chinese Communist Party, Neville Singh billionaire funding, that network had decided to combine their opposition to the Trump blockade of Venezuela, which is completely legal, and also the illegal immigrant raids. You heard it right there. Why? Because he comes out of that nexus. Chinese Communist Party supported, billions pumped in by Neville Singh, and in partnership with the DSA, Democrat Socialists of America. If that sounds familiar, it's because AOC and Zohran Mamdani are members. So he's using their exact talking points. Now, here's what he sounds like. That's him giving the interview to the police. I want you to hear what they're being fed. Here he is at the actual demonstration, right? And he's pushing them to violence.
Show up with guns to face you guys.
Your mask off.
This is done. We're done. You're f***ing murderers. You shot a woman in a wheelchair.
So he's screaming this over and over and over again. That's why the news pulled him over to interview him. So you can see it live there. They're sending these people in to inspire, to make you feel like, well, everybody's doing this. I'm going to go get a gun, to the actual protest itself to reach them. They're also doing it on TikTok, Instagram, and other places. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Hey, Tara. I've been making this point for a week. The protester who was killed on January 6th, Ashley Babbitt, by the Capitol Police, the Democrats were all over how justified that was, and all she did was climb over a window. Yeah, she didn't even break it. This lady hit somebody with their car. Texter writes, so are the judges going to claim that the prosecutors, which get assigned, were illegal appointments in Minnesota, like the Comey and James? Yes, that's exactly what they're going to do. What has happened here is Democrats have called up their friends inside of the Department of Justice and said, you've got to resign so we can use that as evidence in court that this is an unfair prosecution. Why? Because they cannot have them investigating the group that trained the wife of Renee Good. You know why? The funding is going to go right back to the Democrat Party. That's how much command and control they have over these federal prosecutors like that. If they don't want Democrat groups investigated who are part of the criminal, because it is a criminal conspiracy. When you conspire with other people to break the law, that is a conspiracy. It's a classic definition. They don't want those groups investigated. That's how much control the Democrats still have over the DOJ. They can just call up random prosecutors and say, hey, why don't you go ahead and resign instead of investigating us? The prosecutors will say, cool, yeah, we'll do that. Wouldn't it have been nice for the grandmas who took selfies and had their homes raided at dawn on CNN to have gotten that kind of treatment when they didn't even commit any kind of violence or even property destruction? Texter writes, how about making the funding and financial support of professional protesters a crime in the form of a felony? Well, here's the thing. It already is. Not the funding part. But the conspiracy, criminal conspiracy to commit violence. That's why those feds just resigned. They've had five of them in Minnesota. That's a small federal prosecutor's office. They resigned rather than having to obey the Trump administration's orders. And it's actually the DOJ, not Trump himself, to go find the funding. So this is where we are. It's going to get interesting. Want to thank Mike Gallagher for the kind words and playing my audio yesterday on his show. It was very sweet of him. Really appreciated him doing that today. But seriously, folks, we've got a chance for a worldwide game changer, both in terms of Cuba and getting the communists out of there, collapsing that government, but also really ending a massive national security threat from the Iranians. I'll never forget, because it's been since I've been here, 11 years now sitting in this chair, the leaking of the Iranian military's plan to detonate a nuke over the United States of America, to destroy our grid. You know, and we've watched the progression over the years from the leaking of their plan to detonate the nuke, and again, to, you know, use the EMP force of it to ruin parts of our grid, maybe all of our grid, depending on what they do, to the chanting in the parliament, death to America, to the actual sending of the assassins to America to kill Trump. And it's incredibly, incredibly frustrating. As most Americans, if I say to you, who's Asif Merchant? Who is he? Who's Asif Merchant? Well, he's on a terror watch list. Yeah. Ring a bell? No? Came here in the fall of 2024 to kill Trump. Actually, I traveled to the U.S. in April 2024. And the whole thing is still a mystery. He was on the terror watch list, just flew right in on a visa. No problem. Despite being on the terror watch list, FBI interviewed him, let him go. Weird, right? Yeah. We caught him fleeing the country the weekend to Butler. He didn't come here to kill Trump personally himself. He came here to recruit and manage the assassins who would do it. And he fled the weekend of Butler. I don't know. It's weird. We got him, though. He's awaiting trial. Iran sent him. Just the way Iran sent Farhad Shaikiri. So, I hope Trump acts. We just need to go ahead and end the Iranian regime. We will never be more justified than we are right now. Have a good rest of the day.